variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with the author, the novelist, the wife, the mother, the dancer, the educator, just a little bit of everything, and she does it all so well. She's a Renaissance woman and, of course, radio show host. You can go to iHeartRadio.com and about 10 other places. I was counting Player FM and Mixcloud and SoundCloud and Blog Talk and a million places, and you can get our shows and binge listen to everything that we've been doing here. Melissa Itell Duran, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Frank. I'm staying alive. How are you?
The same thing here, and we just got news, and if you know somebody's listening to this in the future, which of course they are compared to how we're recording it, Boris Johnson just announced he's the UK Prime Minister, for those who don't know, and he announced that he tested positive. 55-year-old Boris Johnson, Great Britain's Prime Minister, has tested positive. And you just have to worry about, you know, he has a 30-year-old significant other, and she's pregnant. So you have to be concerned for the mom and baby there.
Oh boy. And it's a bad time just for a lot of good things, pregnancy especially, because of the risks all around. And pregnant women have enough to worry about, including what is going to happen to them when they get to the hospital to deliver. Some hospitals are limiting the number of people who can go with them, including the father or the partner and other team members. So this is a very agonizing time, a very frightening time.
I just had Jill Wagner on. She's a wonderful actress. She does a lot of the Lifetime movies and lovely model. And she was on another show with me yesterday, and I was interviewing her, and she said in two weeks she's giving birth to her first, a baby girl.
Aww.
And that her husband won't be able to come into the delivery room. And I said, look, you got to do what you got to do to get through these times. You know, you got to stay safe. And, when she's exposed, you know, like that, and the baby's just coming out, you know, you don't take any chances. I'm sure they'll get him as close to the action as he possibly could behind glass, and it'll be there. So, you know, our best to them. I'm sure you're joining me in, welcoming a young girl into the world, in about 2 weeks. And the world has changed for all of us, but people that are going through that, giving birth to a child, especially the first time, it has to be a freakish existence just watching what's going on. It's a Twilight Zone like. I've said it, from the beginning. It's Twilight Zone like.
Yes, many people have thought the same too.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the current situation and the heat? And again, we haven't experienced the heat yet, but many people are pointing to, and I keep talking about this, that the virus doesn't do well in the heat, that it does very well in the cold, just like a flu does. It survives in the cold, but as soon as it gets warmer, it starts losing its power and its effect and so forth. And Sanjay Gupta, who knows a lot more than I do about medicine.
Than any of us.
Yeah, guy's fantastic. And I've had him on the show and a while ago, not since this, but I heard him say the same thing the other day, that he believes the cold is an aid to the virus, and that the warmer weather should be a welcome addition. What do you think about that, and what have you heard about that?
I heard that because it is affecting other parts of the hemisphere, where they're going into now they were in their warmer climate. They were warm season in the summers, and of course now there's the transition for them into fall, and for us we're in spring. So I've heard other medical officials say similar things. You can't just assume automatically that it will die down as soon as the temperature goes up, because it may not. There's so many unknowns, and I wish that were the case. I wish they could say exactly that, you know, that is definitely the case, and you know, we have a lot to look forward to.
Well, you're right. They're not saying it, and I'm certainly no medical or scientific professional, and I'm just noticing, though, that, and this is what I don't like, and again, Melissa, Itel-Joran is somebody we do like, and we all love Melissa, and go to melissaiteljoran.com, but one thing I don't like is that news organizations have pointed to Tehran as, you know, because it's been a big hotspot for this, no pun intended, right? Tehran and Italy. And I just did a little research on my own, and not anything beyond Google and temperatures, and basically Siri, what is the temperature this week? What is the forecast for Tehran, Iran? And what is the temperature been for Tehran, Iran for, you know, this long? Do you know what the temperature in Tehran has been? It's been a low of 40, and earlier than this, it was a low of 35 and 34, and a high of 60 or 62. And the same thing with Italy. Italy was, basically the same range in temperature. So the thing is, like, they point to that. Now, they know. They have the same ability to ask Siri as I do. And they point to that as an excuse to point out that it's not going to die down with the heat. And again, I'm not saying it completely dies down with heat, but people are starting to point to now. A couple of MIT professionals, you know, teachers over at MIT did a study about it, and it came out right on. So the idea that the heat could, I'm not saying kill it, but slow it down so we can get back to some normalcy where they could finally get there. You know, they could get to an ultimate vaccine, which I think they will get. But I believe that the heat is going to be a great deal of help, and the media is not telling us that. And again, I'm not saying they should, you know, stand on the rooftops and say we're going to be fine. But for some reason, they want this thing to be a complete panic, or they want us to be in a complete panic mode. And we already are. We don't need any help from them. And that bothers me. Does that bother you at all?
Everything about this whole situation bothers me. I think there's just so much that we don't know. And there's so much that could have been done, I feel, in advance. I think that the powers who be knew about this, could have done a lot more. I mean, there's no reason for any in this country to be in the predicament we're in. I mean, it's the fact is that we're surpassing. The United States has already surpassed everywhere else.
Yeah.
In the number of cases and deaths, it's just horrible.
Yeah, we're number one at this point, and
yeah,
this is where we don't want to be number one. Where
we don't want to be number one. No. We want to be number one in other cases. Yeah. We want to be number one now, you know, in trade. We want to be number one in other. Yeah, but not number of, you know, COVID deaths, cases, yeah. And the hospitalization is appalling. The people who are protecting us, who are fighting for our lives, they're putting their lives on the battlefields, basically. I mean, they're the unsung heroes of this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a war. You know, you give the analogy of a battlefield. It is. It's a war, and we don't have the ability to do all that much. We should let the people that know what they're doing and that are put in place and have put themselves in place through medical degrees and medical training to give them all the resources that they could possibly have to fight this war. And it's just an absolute travesty that they don't have the ventilators that we need and the masks. I'll tell you a quick thing. I got a call from a woman who's in our party. She's a lawyer named Pat Blake, and she's a wonderful attorney, and she represents some big organizations. And she says, you know, I represent a large company, and they have masks. They have 3 million masks, and they're willing to turn one of their factories out here into, a plant to develop either more masks or something else. They just have no idea how to get to government through red tape. And I said, well, let me, you know, I can handle that. So I reached out to Cuomo, to Andrew Cuomo, who's been, love him or hate him. They've been calling him America's mayor. Can you imagine? Yeah. America's mayor at this point.
Governor.
Oh, what am I saying? Yeah, America's governor, right? It was Rudy was America's mayor, right?
That's right. Yeah. And now they're even saying, "What's President Cuomo?" You hear the latest hashtag?
Yeah, but that's not happening. He's thinking hopefully Biden loses and that he gets to go against a fresh name or whatever in 2024 probably. Anyway, but they're calling him America's governor. You're right, America's governor. And so I reached out to America's governor, and they got in touch, and the first thing that they announced is that they turned the Melville plant of Estee Lauder, that was the company, Estee Lauder, into a hand sanitizer factory, and they promised 10,000 bottles a week, which is which is tremendous. It's something we need. And I think they're large bottles. These large bottles. 10,000 of them, and Estee Lauder, they make good stuff, right? I mean, they know what they're doing with cosmetics. Yep. So that was us who put that into motion. And the masks haven't even been announced, but I saw a tweet from Governor Cuomo that said, it didn't say thank you, Frank, but it said it said Estee Lauder has changed their Melville plant to a hand sanitizer plant, and they're promising 10,000 a week, which is terrific, that's what we want. And Pat Blake, we thank her for that. And I can't wait till these masks show up. They were supposed to show up this last Monday. We're speaking on Friday, but the last Monday, and we haven't heard anything about them. They're coming from Europe, so maybe they have to go through, fumigation or whatever you call it, sterilization.
Right.
But 3 million masks, and they got more on the way. Terrific.
Oh, that is wonderful. And if they could just get more gowns, more protective gear, outerwear that the nurses need. There was a picture on the cover of the New York Post the other day of three nurses from Mount Sinai with wearing their makeshift or their homemade hefty garbage bag, black garbage bag gown. Oh. And these were brave women. And unconscionable that we should put our best people, our best health care workers, our best nurses, doctors, in such a situation. They are putting their lives out, and we can't even get them in this country. We can't even get them the proper suiting, the protective outerwear. I mean, it's appalling.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Melissa, itelljorn.com. Go there to watch two documentaries on this woman. And again, Frank McKay here with Melissa. You bring up a great point about the gowns. I'm even saying about the masks. How difficult is it to make these things? I mean, it's...
I don't know.
We have manufacturers making all kinds of things in a hurry.
Yeah.
I mean, hefty bags? I mean... Are you kidding
me? I know.
Hefty bags.
Hefty bags.
They've got to be able to make these things better. Am I right?
I would imagine so.
I mean, look, when you're talking about gowns, you're talking about masks, you're talking about things like that. I get it. I know, we were caught off guard. But now it's been about a month since we knew how bad this was going to be. It's certainly been 2 weeks since we knew how bad this was going to be. Tell me, how are we not funding everybody who has any ability to make these things? That material's so hard to get. I got to believe the same material that's used for, everything from diapers to, sanitary napkins and different types of napkins. I mean, a hospital gown. Or even a surgical gown, it's cloth. It's not even cloth. It's you know, the makeshift ones, the disposable ones. I was wearing when my aunt passed, mm-hmm. you know, about a month and a half ago. They're paper. You know, I mean, how mm-hmm. difficult is it to make those things? I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know.
I can't make them, but I mean, somebody should be able to make these things. Am I right?
I would think so. And I just can't understand why there's a shortage of those now. And I just, as I can't understand the shortage for toilet paper. Okay, you're stuck in the house, but still, and all, if I'm planning for something like this, I would want to stock up on pain relief, over-the-counter painkillers, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe my mind works differently.
Maybe but alcohol. Right.
Alcohol, yes. I'm glad that the governor and Governor Cuomo, for us anyway, realize the need not to close liquor stores.
Yeah.
Not in these days, no.
Yeah. Well, they said it was a necessary. My friend went into a liquor store, and he says, I'm surprised you're open. He said, yeah, we're considered necessary. We're considered necessary thing. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. People are home, and people want to have a drink. Let them have a drink. Let them relax. And
yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, look, we're not talking about children, and you're talking about children, if anything, are going to be better supervised than ever before. I mean, you know, nobody's leaving the house, and nobody's letting their kids, if they have any control over it, leave their house. We're in different times here, but yeah, alcohol is a necessity. I mean, I think people should be able to drink if they want to drink.
Absolutely. I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Melissa, iteljuren.com once again, and a great place to start all things Melissa. Can I ask you, I mean, if you were in charge right now and you can make all of these decisions, what would you first do? And you've touched on some of it here as far as creating these the ability to get these gowns and the masks so they don't have to wear plastic bags. But what do? You take over day one, you're president of the United States, you're emperor, you're whatever, and you're in charge. You get to make the decisions. What's the first thing you do in this situation?
Well, I would hope that I'd have in my intelligence, my congressional intelligence committees, or my medical authority team, or whoever it is in charge of telling me, you know, what are the latest pandemics or possible pandemics looming on the horizon, given that there were news reports coming out of China back in, I don't know, what was it, November, December, that there's this virus on the loose. You know, I don't know if I think I would be alert to that, maybe start a little bit earlier. I know people didn't believe it, but I would make sure that we have the defense mechanism in place, that we didn't cut funding for our pandemics, that we are on the alert, our hospitals know, our medical authorities in the states know. What are we doing about it? We're just going to, you know, come in, you know, let it catch us off guard, and then we'll pull ourselves into a, you know, pandemonium and watch people die helplessly. Are we going to have test kits? Are we going to be mobilized in time? I mean, look at this. I mean, I think we could have done a hell of a lot more sooner. I mean, there's no excuse for not having test kits. I don't understand this. And the way we treat our people who are the first responders, our healthcare workers, our hospital workers, the people who are there tending to us, who are putting themselves behind everything and putting their lives on the line, coming home every day hoping they don't pass this on to their family. What are we doing for them? I mean, this is atrocious. And then forget about the economy. I mean, I hope we don't go into a depression. That's right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We very well could be talking those type of things soon. I don't know. I don't want to say depression yet, you know, that. But, I mean, certainly we're in a recession now. I mean, it's I don't know how it wouldn't be a recession. I don't know technically whether it is, but terrible economic times. Melissa, any last word on all of this? And again, stay right with us, and everyone, listen to everything that we've been doing. Last word on to everyone that's out there listening and trying to stay healthy, trying to keep their kids healthy and family healthy.
You know, I know we were all in isolation. We were all doing social distancing. There's no school. Most of us are home working. Some stores are shuttered. Oh, forget about the personal care stores and other non-essential stores, especially in New York. I'm sure in almost every state that is the case. We're just home. We're surrounded by the walls, and we can go out. I think you need to go out a little bit, get some fresh air, try to keep your mind occupied and not let it get you emotionally, because I know it did to me in several ways. And especially when you have younger family members, children who are not being served by their schools, and you have to assume the role of educator, guardian, parent, recreation director. But everybody doesn't have a very clear cut role. It's one thing to stay home and homeschool your kids and go about your remote working, but it's another when your mental health needs become neglected and become affected by this. And you are taking care of, let's say, an elderly parent. You live with elderly parents, or you have special needs children, or you're alone. How do you get through this? How do you get by? You have to keep telling yourself, this is going to end. This too will pass. Things will calm down eventually. It can't go on like this. I know we hear the doomsday scenarios that this may go on for several months. How are we going to get by? What are we going to do? There's so many questions, and we just have to have faith in this point, even if you're not religious, we have to have faith in a higher power that things will resolve.
No, no doubt about it. Melissa, itelljoran.com is a great place to go. We appreciate everyone listening. Be safe, be healthy, and keep that social distancing in mind every way you go. If you've got to be in public, just stay away. Stay as far away from people as you can at this point. Watch TV, watch movies, and certainly listen to us online every chance you get. And we appreciate you doing that. Melissa Itell-Joran and I are signing off. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell-Joran Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Joran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.